Hello, friends, and welcome to another issue of Portographic. This is going to be issue number 47. I'm Brian Mann.
I'm Brian Mitchell.
I'm Eric Mitchell.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
It's been a minute.
Going good,
indeed.
But we're here now. So, what is our first beer for this podcast?
Our first beer is New Axiom's Crayon's Dark Nebula.
Ooh.
It is a sour ale made with dark goza with
we've almost got him converted.
Goza, goddamn it.
With blackberry, black limes, and black sea salt.
They just went full black.
Yes.
What you said? No, black no salt, black lime. How many things that there are other of? Did you say that? Like, I mean, there's.
See, in a world where Boulevard Beer, you know, and has their Space Camper, that's a, you know, the Dark Phoenix official beer. I feel like Nebula from, you know, the Guardians should be.
Yeah. On well, this. The can art looks awesome to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a really good job with
does
it.
Does it say black lime, black sea salt, and what else? And blackberry.
Always bet on black.
Yeah, see, there's three black things in a row there. And it's like, what is the difference between a
Dude,
black lime and a
racist would notice.
No. I'm trying to be serious. Like, what's the difference between a black lime and a regular lime?
I imagine it has a different flavor? Question mark?
Probably.
It's one less warhead than the other. One you use for tequila only and one's everyday use. Have you had this before? I know you have because you went there and drank it, right?
Yes. Yeah. Had it there. Picked up this four-pack to...
And where is New Axiom?
It's in Lee Summit. Cool. Just so right off 291.
Really nice place. Kind of feels...
Oh, that's really good.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, that's...
It kind of feels upscale for a craft tap room.
Yeah, it's
like
a
Three
nice
Trails
place.
Upscale or like way upscaler than that?
It's like...
Can I see a can?
It's like Lee Summit upscale.
Oh.
Not Downtown Independence upscale. Oh. Not to say anything. It's just, it's a different type of decor. Like where Three Trails is the reclaimed, you know, barrel staves for the,
the
cool looking bar and pallet wood. And this is more of like a colonial white... Mm-hmm. With like their bars looking out over the little pond, have little water things going, water effects.
It's an interstellar mix.
Oh, it's delicious. I know that.
Indeed it is.
I also realized that I know the owner of it. So I'm going to work on a future Portographic at that New Axiom.
You just got all these ins, don't you?
Works for me.
All of a sudden, yeah. Who knew? But yeah.
I think the world's trying to tell you something. When all of your friends are starting up breweries, you're like, damn, I got to get on this train.
That is true. I would like that.
Right. The thing is we don't know the first thing about
nothing.
First thing about brewing beer at all. It's got alcohol in it, and it tastes really good. That's all I know.
Yep.
To comics. Maybe.
So, I have something crazy. Have you guys noticed the whole letter VCs and then the person's name? I actually looked that up. I believe it stands for virtual calligrapher, which I thought was kind of a cool little tidbit. Because it just bothers me.
It's not Viet Cong?
No.
Damn.
I thought maybe it was like a comic, then they're on loan to Marvel to do the lettering, but it's VCs, virtual calligrapher.
Cool.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Maybe later. Speaking of that comic,
yes,
we'll just go ahead and start with that. We're going to start with the two that we forgot last time because we're horrible human beings, which are going to be Daredevil 5.
I did not.
Yeah, you didn't. Just me and Brian.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, they moved the comics around because Old Man Quill used to be towards the end, and now it's second row.
Yeah.
I'm a creature of habit.
I think those are just excuses for why we missed it.
So, can I say one other thing before we review the comic?
For sure, yeah.
Marvel, you're doing a lot of things right. and one of them is Stan's soapbox. Don't ever stop printing that.
Oh, yeah,
Stop reprinting those. They're amazing. Yeah. And it makes you feel like Stan is still part of the comics.
You know what really saddens me is that they stopped it in the first place. Yeah. Like, why is it? Because, like, when he was actively doing comics, it was in the back of every issue, mm-hmm. right? So why did you ever stop doing that?
I don't know. And quite frankly, I can't think of anybody who's done more for Marvel Comics for sure, and for comics in general, than Stan Lee.
In terms of what, like ambassadorship?
Yeah.
I don't think that there is. I mean, I think if you,
I mean, well, dude, he helped create characters.
Yeah, I mean, he has over 100 character creations, I think, to his name. Like, think about that. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah,
100 different characters. And Stanley, I mean, that's like 100 different children that you can tell all kinds of stories with. Not what I meant.
Okay.
But like,
yes.
And most of all are still being used.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few that of his that just didn't take off, I guess, is what I mean.
And I think some of them are so simple. You're like, why didn't anybody come up? Why didn't anybody else come up with this?
Right.
Like the Hulk, for example. We're going to take a dude, and when he gets angry, he's going to turn into a big green monster. Like, how does nobody think of that until Stan Lee comes along and is like, hey, man, let's do this. So
I feel like I could just vote for the beer of the pod right now and be 100% accurate.
It's pretty good. I don't know what else we have on tap, but
so as far as Old Man Quill,
yeah, Old Man number 5.
It may say something that I wrote like two giant paragraphs about virtual calligraphy and Stan's soapbox, and about two sentences for okay, it's getting better. I'm still very lukewarm on this book. I hope the payoff is coming. But at this point, it seems like the series is well seated in third place of the Old Man series.
So we get a better we get a glimpse of the past of perhaps what he's holding on to. I'm just waiting for 7 because that seems to be the magic number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
at this point.
But even so, I still felt like I was way more hyped for Old Man Hawkeye. And it's sad that I have to compare them, but it's the world we live in. I mean, there's two other Old Man titles ahead of this. And I feel like they're firmly ahead of this.
Are you speaking just in terms of the original story arc?
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, Old Man Logan went for like 50 sub-issues. Because you had the Millar version.
Just the Millar.
The Jeff Lemire. I don't know, man. The Jeff, I mean, we'll get to later. But, you know.
But just the original.
I think the reason why is, if I had to take a gander as to the reason why.
I guess.
Whatever, dude.
Maybe you were going to take a look.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at your number one over there on the wall.
Gotcha. All right, so.
Is Old Man Logan and Old Man Hawkeye are set very closely in the same universe. This is after the events of Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
A few steps. And so you're kind of like, it's kind of like coming home after 40 years. You're like, this is the place that I used to know, but so different. Much has changed that I'm having a hard time adapting to that story. And I think that's part of the problem that we're seeing is
that, and I just don't think the story is super compelling to this point.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, there were lulls and
agree.
I think it's on the upswing
for sure. And I think that
because the first four were just okay. And I do think 5 was a little bit better.
Yeah.
I liked the introduction of Viv.
Yeah.
As still being around. And this is, it's expanding the universe so much more. Like, Old Man Logan and Old Man Hawkeye were very
just a microcosm.
Yeah, and this is, now we're getting galactic stuff going and adding in Doom and all. It's just,
and you know, the thing
it was
is
very
the
contained
throne.
In the
yeah, I think yeah. it's hilarious. But yeah, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. That's pretty Indeed. Much that's pretty much yeah. all we can do right now.
Yep.
To the other book we missed, Daredevil number 5.
I wrote down, how is it number 5 already? Because it just
this
feels
is
like
the
it's
one
bang,
that was
bang,
killing
bang,
me
bang,
to talk
yeah,
about
know,
last
right?
time
yeah.
because it was so good.
And I wrote down, I mean, is it blasphemous to put this comic up with Frank Miller's Daredevil entries? Because if it is, I don't care. This is the most compelling Daredevil I've read since Frank Miller. Introspective, smart, compelling. The premise is simple and true to life. You know, where the other heroes seem to be able to deal with accidental death of a criminal, it absolutely destroys Daredevil to his core. I love these type of stories. It's smart writing. And at this point, it should be heralded as a Frank Miller moment in this character's history. I mean, well done, Chip Zdarsky.
So, I mean, it's great art. One of the things that really surprised me was how the integration of ensemble characters just seemed so effortless. Like, sometimes we Brian, you more than me and Eric, have a problem with a whole bunch of people on the page. Mm-hmm. And I feel like...
Well, especially if they don't have anything to particularly
right.
add.
Well, in the world of all these crossovers, and we got to have 14 different heroes trying to fight one big bad guy, this was refreshing to see it done the right way. Well, you know, well done the right way. You know, the shocker for me was Spider-Man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people who are in Hell's Kitchen with him and you know, the other defenders, you know, like, all right, they're relatively supposed to be real close. Punisher is obviously, you know, one of his greatest anti-hero villain
frenemy.
Yeah.
You know, but then you got Spidey just swinging in and like lays down the hard truth
of dudes.
It's like,
yeah.
You know what? If you can't handle this, then just go ahead and hang it up there, buddy.
In fact, we all think you ought to hang it up.
Yeah.
Because you're not handling it well, and I'm not going to come out and babysit you.
Yeah. That's what really shocked me.
Just like, we're going to shut you down.
Yeah.
If we see you out there, it really will be over.
I love how the quippiest line was something like he didn't know that he put a Punisher shirt on.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes.
And then
I just needed a shirt.
I just needed a shirt. And then they forget that he was blind.
Yes.
Like, bro, you couldn't have found a different. Oh yeah, you're blind. It's like fabric. Okay. All right, I got it. So I really enjoyed it. But I guess that's the end of the first story arc, so we'll have to see what comes in number 6. So Venom 14 is the next one.
War of the Realms tie-in with Mr. Cullen Bunn.
Yeah.
I liked parts of it and disliked other parts. I enjoyed the Eddie Norse god armor that he transformed into later.
Like the Berserker armor?
Yeah. That looked really, really cool because it was more like just Eddie. Not so, you know.
It was more like an actual suit instead of like this all-encompassing, I don't know.
Yeah. Why is the solution almost always when there's a large villain, the hero turns large as well to fight them? Can we not come up with another way to fight a large villain than just your good guy somehow becoming really large too?
It's like, probably just because I didn't want to hear the, oh, it's David versus Goliath.
I would rather have that. I know. I'd rather see the the snow speeder take down the AT-AT, sure.
Yeah.
Then yeah. Somehow have something as large as the AT-AT.
Could you imagine if that was how it was in everything? Like, there's no David and Goliath. It's literally just Goliath v. Goliath. And then, so you're on Hoth, and it's freezing cold, and then it's just like, how are we going to do this? Bring out the big Tauntaun. And it's just a dude like with a rope, like rodeoing an AT-AT on a giant Tauntaun. Just trying to adapt that to other scenarios. I don't agree.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're Giant Man or Ant Man, and you know that's kind of one of your things to do, sure. Is to go big and small.
That makes sense.
That makes
actually,
sense.
Kind of your only thing.
Yeah.
But Venom is suddenly becoming gigantic.
I mean, unless
to fight the frost giants did not really work.
Yeah, I mean, like if he was like that giant T-Rex, like he is in The Old Man, it's a, you know, I mean, I got T-Rex baby arms. But, you know, I don't know. What I liked is all the flashbacks, like all the callbacks to
to
earlier issues. To me, that's a nod to Donnie Cates from Colin Bunn saying, I like what you're doing here, and I'm not gonna tear it down in these three little issues that I have. I'm gonna keep it going by making clear, distinct choices that you've already put in place. And I was like, "That's nice. I like that."
That was good. Yeah.
Still hoping for an Eddie Brock in the Venom versus the Pet Venom fight. Still waiting for that.
Yeah, we got one more issue before it.
Yeah.
Before it's over, and it goes back to. Donnie
well,
Cates.
No, it's Age of Carnage right after this is when that starts.
But I think Cates.
Yeah. It's Cates, isn't it going to with
Absolute 16? Carnage doesn't start till August now. So maybe there's some prequel.
Well, this is
stuff
the,
going.
The next issue is going to come out at the end of this month, right? Or is it this coming week?
I don't know for sure.
Okay. We'll have to find out.
Yep.
Bone Parish, number 9.
So, 9 issues in.
9 issues in.
And to me, it feels like there's just enough meat on the bone to keep me gnawing on it. I don't feel like there's the same shock and awe that when you open that first issue, you're like, what the... It's kind of just turned into some sort of a macabre soap opera. And I feel like we bounce between each faction so much that it's hard to keep up. I mean, who are you rooting for?
Oh, I don't really care.
Ding. Who's the most compelling character?
The chick who uses sex to get what she wants? Lolita or whatever her fucking name is?
The mom?
I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know. If it doesn't get better by 10, I may pull the plug on this one. Because I just what outcome are you looking for? I mean, we're kind of 10 issues in, and all we're getting is, I don't know. It just seems like the water keeps getting muddier and nothing's getting clearer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not wrong. I mean, I liked it.
I did not like it.
I like that things are happening now. I like that there's like a clear feud between these two families.
I think there's been a clear feud since like issue 3.
Yeah, but I mean like people are dying now.
Issue 2 or 3, one of the sons gets killed.
Yeah, but now you have people doing ash from people they've killed to try and get the plans from the other group. And like it's all kinds of fuckery. Which,
don't disagree.
To be fair, is what muddies the waters.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing visions of other people through the ash of that person and that. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of confusing. It's just, but it, like, to me, it's like, all right.
Yeah. I don't know. I've just kind of, my interest has waned on this a little bit.
Fair enough.
I certainly hope something happens in 10 to just snap me back and go, okay, this is why I loved this comic.
For sure. Absolutely. Middle West, number 7. So it wasn't a bad issue, per se. So I get, you remember the last time in 6, the fox just kind of like fucked off?
Pissed off, yeah.
Well, I guess we know where he went now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this right now. Some of the choices that were made, I don't know that I agree with.
Well, I know there was one choice I didn't agree with.
Oh, boy.
It was not drawing a face on one of the characters. That just bothers me to no end. I mean,
the little black girl?
Yeah. Put a smiley face. I'm no artist, but I can draw two dots and a little half circle. I can do it. Is it good or bad that this issue felt incredibly short? I don't know.
I didn't find it short.
I was surprised to see the ads at the end. I was turning pages so quickly.
Oh,
yeah. I think it's good because I was totally immersed in the story. I mean, nothing huge happened this issue.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Abel kind of runs away from his support system, yeah, which is going to be a regrettable decision, I'm sure. So I don't know. I mean, that's kind of big.
Yeah, I felt like the story didn't go forward a ton. But I was totally immersed. I really enjoyed the book. I mean, I care about the characters, and I'm just still hooked. I really enjoy this book.
Didn't this win an award or something?
I think it was at least nominated for an Eisner.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And our last compare on this issue is going to be Detective 1004.
Yeah. So the whole issue is basically the origin of Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem I have with this is we basically have to forget that Batman is a detective in this issue, because how would Batman not know that Dr. Arkham has had a child in Arkham for however, let's say she just turned 18. So it's been 18 years that she's been living in Arkham. And then we're also just okay with, I mean, Dr. Arkham or whatever he's called, he knows she has a vendetta against Batman. She's chopping off the heads of Batman-shaped statues, and he's just cool with that, and we're not going to ever report that to Batman. And again, Batman, world's greatest detective, this is going on in his city, in the place where he puts all these villains, and he doesn't have any idea that this is going on at all.
Sure.
Well, this is my favorite part of the podcast. I won't lie.
I mean, I get all that.
Yeah, but.
I mean.
Yeah, but it's really awesome. It's a new character.
I don't know.
Okay. Well. Okay. What did you write down?
I liked the scroll telling. Like, it was an interesting way to tell the story.
Sure.
I liked that they kind of led you down a path to believe that during one of these outbreak riots in Arkham that Batman killed this little girl's mom, which, I mean, that kind of makes sense. And that's...
Sorry, what? Batman killed the little girl's mom?
Is that not what
it deflects off?
I don't know,
right?
Dude. I didn't read the book. You're looking at me for
she's led to believe that's the why.
Okay,
he didn't actually.
There we go.
A batarang killed this little girl's mom.
Gotcha.
And the way it's drawn in the first time you see it, it is assumed that Batman directly was targeting. That's not what really happened, though. But the little girl doesn't know that. So, adult Astrid, right? Astrid?
I believe so.
Astrid? Is that her name?
Sure.
Let's go
with that.
Let's go. But she spirals out of control, feeds off the psychosis of the other inmates, and turns herself into this righteous knight to save Gotham from Batman. I don't know. Maybe the execution isn't completely on point, but I mean, the idea certainly is good, I think. You're not saying anything, Eric.
Yeah, I think I may be out.
Okay, that's fine.
On Detective, I've tried to go on it for a while.
We'll have more shares now.
That is true. You will have a share. I don't know. I'm having a really hard time getting past the fact that all of that was going on under Batman's nose for however many years.
And he's not Japanese.
I said nose.
You did.
Yep. I did.
Yeah.
My bad. Did.
Yeah. It's okay. Just need a dong here. Ding! Every time something ridiculous happens where you bring up some ancient.
Still funny to me.
It's still funny to me. And if you're playing for an audience of one, who cares, right? Okay, so you're out, possibly.
I think so. Yeah, I think I'm going to be done with Detective for a while.
All right. Cool. So. All right. Well, that's going to take us out of the compares and into the shares for this issue. I don't have any because, you know, that's pretty typical.
Yeah.
Pretty typical. Do you have any? Okay.
So,
Yeah. Anyway. I don't know.
Going to have our share beer.
Next beer of the pod is Core Brewing Company's Ring of Fire, their double IPA from Arkansas.
You wonder if it's a Johnny Cash reference
or
I ate some hot chilies the other night, and now I have my asshole is a burning ring of fire. Regardless, this is a double IPA, I believe.
Yes.
It's tasty. I think it's high alcohol content, though, too, because why not?
8.8, it looks like.
Yeah, it's probably an Imperial, which usually bumps it up.
So, yeah, Core Brewing Company out of Springdale, Arkansas.
Arkansas! I wonder if people from Arkansas hate being called Arkansas.
I would guess.
Probably.
Which is really funny because there is an Arkansas River.
What do you mean?
Fire.
Like, the river in southern Missouri is called the Arkansas River.
We don't pronounce it right.
I mean, we called Nevada, Missouri, Nevada instead of Nevada.
And
they'll fight you.
Versailles instead of Versailles.
Yeah.
So what shares do we have?
Whatever you brought.
Oh, okay. Didn't realize we were waiting on me on that. Sorry.
No, you're good.
All right. So just a couple. Guardians of the Galaxy number 5.
Is that still Donny Cates?
Yes. Yeah, still Donny Cates. And this is kind of the payoff issue of this arc. I feel like at some point I'm going to
dare it
to you, because you started the first couple of it. This was really good.
Nice.
They still haven't explained what is going on with Rocket, but that's coming up.
There's only one more, right?
No, it's continuing.
I thought it was only a 6-issue.
I don't think so. The Rocket thing is coming up, but this one is kind of the big payoff. You know, everybody's thought that it was Gamora that was going to take over for Thanos, and Thanos was going to, transfer his soul or whatever into Gamora, and she'd become the next Thanos. And there's a pretty good twist in this one.
Cool.
Still really liking that. And then my other ones, just Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 21 and 22. Again, not going to spoil a whole lot with that because it's going to become a dare. But it's the end of the Hunted storyline.
Nice.
And it's kept me on Amazing Spider-Man. That was one that I was thinking about dropping off of because it's been really hit and miss. Like, the beginning of it was the run was good, and then we had the whole here's a separate Peter Parker from Spider-Man. Peter Parker.
Yeah, okay. Peter Parker picked a peck of pickled peppers.
I don't know. It's just been hit and miss, and this one has been really good. So I think that is.
I'm doing two D's, so it's not Peter, it's Peter. Peter Parter. I'm going to need a double Peter Parter.
Okay. All right, so what do we think of the coupe? Or core, sorry. I don't know why I want to keep calling it coupe.
The Ring of Fire double Indian Pale Ale.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's a good
IPA, yeah.
For being an Imperial, it's still got a good hop taste to it.
Doesn't say it's Imperial, though.
No, if double IPA is usually...
It says a West Coast-style double IPA with an aggressive malt bill to counteract the copious amounts of American hops presented in this fiery brew. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. Well, I guess that explains where the name came from, then.
Yeah, the maltiness does kind of knock some of the hoppiness off, but it's still got a very good hop flavor to me.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good. All right, well, we're just moving right along here. Out of Share and into Dare.
I had Lola XOXO. It was okay. It bounced around a lot. Everybody keeps commenting about how naive she is, but yet she is able to just get out of any situation by using just basic defense techniques.
I think they just assume that she's a woman, and she's like,
"Yeah,
you can't possibly know how to get your way out of the situation."
She's walking around the wasteland, and she always looks like a pinup girl. Which I really,
the corset and booty shorts,
don't have a problem with, but yet do have a problem with. If that makes any sense,
does it take away from your immersion?
You know, to a degree, you're like, okay, everyone else looks like, you know, they came out of a Mad Max movie, and she's rolling around, you know, kicking ass and taking names. I still liked it. It was still good. It felt like there was a bit more mystery that never felt developed.
Well, there's other volumes.
All in all, it was a decent story, and I'd read more.
Yeah.
I don't have any dares this time.
Okay, so back to me again.
Okay. I had Hit Girl number one that you gave me because we did the other Hit Girl, Kevin's book.
No words, Hit Girl.
I mean, this is better than the Kevin Smith one, but I don't think this character is for me.
Yeah, it wasn't for me either. But I gave it two or three to.
Yeah,
it's an interesting premise, but. Not one of my favorite Malara.
I like that she's like a little girl. I mean, she looks like a little girl in this one.
Right.
Like she's maybe like 9 or 10. Whereas in the one that Kevin Smith had, she looked like she was like 17 or 18, you know. No, I mean, she doesn't look like she's like a kid. Like in this one, I mean, she looks like she's like a little kid.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, it was just, like, there was nothing wrong with it per se. It was just.
Just okay.
Yeah.
I feel you. I had Black Hammer, and I started reading this with a bit of, well, that's clearly a ripoff of insert character here, because they are all just complete ripoffs of the characters. But then you realize it's more of a love letter to those characters written in a different way.
Yeah.
It's a great story, nice mystery, and a real page-turner. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Okay.
Steam rolling right along.
Out of the dare and into the impaired section.
Next beer.
Woot woot.
Damn, dude.
Is the Prairie Artisan Ales. Their funky cold Citra, a dry hopped sour ale. These guys are out of Oklahoma, right? Yeah.
Where the wind comes blowing down the plane?
Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.
Krebs Brewing Company in Krebs.
What movie is that from?
I have no idea.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Have you not seen that?
Well, Oklahoma is also a musical.
Musical, yeah.
That's where I went with it.
I was going with Rupert the Monkey Boy. Dude, you gotta watch that movie, man. Steve Martin's hilarious. And Michael Caine's in that as well. Smells good.
Just a bunch of wild and crazy guys. Okay. So what do we got here?
All right, this is not as great as the other two entries. It's like it doesn't know if it wants to be a sour or an IPA. I guess I should have probably got that with the dry hopped.
Still, I feel like I've had some dry hopped things that are sour that are actually really good. Yeah.
That's the nicest way of saying that's crap.
I don't mind it so much. I think it's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I get what you guys are saying about not knowing what it wants to be.
Yeah.
But I think it's smooth in that way.
Yeah, it's just right in the middle.
Yeah.
Just a moderate beer.
Just a little bit.
It's not a conservative or a liberal. It's just a moderate beer.
It's a libertarian.
All right. So are we?
We're in the impaired section.
Wow. Yeah, that's a record for us, boys.
35 minutes in.
All right. Did anybody else see the Silver Surfer Black advertisement?
I did. I was kind of turned off by the way Silver Surfer was drawn, though. It seemed like he was like a blob. Like all oozy and blobby.
Like one of the X-Men?
I don't know.
No, I'm sorry, that's Glob.
No, he said there is Blob, though.
Blob as well, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's one of the, wasn't he one of the mutants?
Mm-hmm. Brotherhood of evil mutants, yeah.
I don't know. It's Donny Cates.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give it a try. I'll give it a number one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The art looks kind of trippy, kind of psychedelic looking. So yeah, I've got it on.
Does it come with a full free tab of LSD to take before you read it? Drop this. Read this.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of felt the same way when I saw the initial War of the Realms announcement. Like, huh. Right, that's something new. I might give that a whirl.
So now
everything that I've seen, like, because of course people have gotten review copies of it, and all the reviews have been really good, and you know, says there's a good twist at the end. And so,
do we feel like, is this going to be serious Donny Cates? Is this going to be Silver Surfer destroys the Marvel Universe Donny Cates?
No, I don't know. I kind of get the feeling that it's more serious. I don't know that the art is going to look that way, but
again, I mean, if it's stylized and yeah, as long as it's not bad, I'm fine with stylized most of the time, unless it's Little Bird, which is starting to grow on my nerves. But, good news for us, Brian.
Okay,
Metro,
yeah,
might actually ship.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. It was like end of July, and I was like,
no, it's end of July for the hardcovers. I think we got soft covers, didn't we?
I have no idea.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's been like
nine months.
A million years.
Or longer.
To the point where, I hate reading digital comics. It's just not my thing. But I finally broke down and just read the digital file, and it's actually a pretty awesome story. I mean, it starts off a little crazy with the whole necrophilia.
You
put it right out there on Front Street, but
sometimes you just gotta fuck a dead person.
No, you do not.
I mean, I hear they're cheaper than hookers.
Wow, just throwing titles out all over the place.
What? What?
I don't know.
Why would you even say what?
Is there a problem?
Throwing out incendiary comments like, what? I don't know what I did wrong here.
Exactly.
Cheaper by the dozen.
Huh, I wonder. So, people donate their body to science all the time. I mean, the study of necrophilia is probably a science.
Wow.
Just saying. We should move off this topic.
Yeah, moving on. Moving on. All right. Tom King off Batman.
Yeah.
But. What the fuck?
There's a but, though.
But. Yeah, there's actually like two butts.
There's a couple of butts, yeah.
Or a left and a right cheek or something.
Who's making incendiary comments now, Eric?
I feel like left and right cheek is tame compared to...
Sometimes you gotta
hit it with a dead lady. Or a dude.
Don't wanna get judging.
Not judging.
If they're dead, I mean, a hole's a hole, right?
Oh, wow. Is it too late to start over? I think this is the worst news in Robert Pattinson being the next Batman to me.
Jesus Christ.
DC is just full of nothing but bad decisions. I don't get it.
Oh, I mean, I get it. It's simple
now.
When I heard it, I didn't understand, but now I do.
I still don't.
Why?
Okay, you're writing New Gods. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you not write Batman too? Could you seriously tell me he doesn't have all these stories chambered? Can you seriously tell me he didn't go to DC with a here is my 405 issue run that I'm planning. Here are all the talking points. Here's what needs to happen. And DC's like, we check that box. They're seriously not just going to let him be like, here's Batman, carte blanche. Knock yourself out. Do what you want to do.
Right.
I mean, there's got to be somebody over him checking boxes going, okay, Batman can do this. Batman isn't going to do this. This is our brand.
And they have
I don't know. I don't know if the editor is sitting there doing that. You really think they're checking to see if the writer has gone outside the realm of Batman?
Yes, 100%.
I think that's the job for the writer.
No. No, you're not writing for some little indie book where you can just decide what you want to do or not. This is Batman.
For sure, but why wouldn't you take that into account before you even write the story?
Well, I'm sure there's self-editing and self-moderation, but... You really think they're just going to send something to press without reading it and going, no, no, thank you. Because I can tell you, looking at the Twitter feed, there have been covers where they're like, no, no, thank you. So if they're doing that with the art, they're doing that with the writing.
Sure. I mean, I guess. But, like, I don't think that's the problem.
Oh, well, I think the problem is probably time commitment. I get it.
I think the problem is that the last, like, 7 issues didn't even sell 100,000 copies or some shit.
Yeah. Well...
One thing DC cares about more than anything is money. And they don't care if you're a Pulitzer Prize winner writing for them. If you're not making money for them,
then that's cowardly.
How? They're giving him 12 issues after the end of the year to finish his story that he wanted to finish. They didn't have to do that.
I didn't get that memo. But to me, it's you've committed to doing here's your story. You know, I don't like metal.
Yeah.
I guess it apparently sells good, you know, even though I still see issues just hanging out on the stand, not selling. I don't know. I want the man to be able to tell the story.
What's confusing to me is that if he has the time, because then you kind of alluded to it. I mean, they've given him a 12-issue Batman and Catwoman series.
But it's once monthly.
So, okay.
So instead of 24 issues in a year, he only has to produce 12 issues in a year. So that's half the commitment. For then he has, you know, the time to spend writing the New Gods movie.
Well, you know what? You want to see a drop in readership.
But you're not going to stop reading it. You're going to read both Batman mainline and the...
Am I?
I don't know.
Am I?
Probably.
Am I? Because I've stopped reading Batman before.
Well, I get it, but like, I mean,
my thing is, this is the most interesting Batman I've read in years, and you're going to go ahead and pull the plug on that, I'm not going to be excited when it's back to just Batman out punching out bad guys. Just not.
But we don't know if that's what it's going to be.
We don't. And I'll give it a couple issues. But I promise you, I will stop reading it,
yeah,
when it stops being Tom King good.
Well, it's... I don't know. I mean, you still have 12 issues or 13 issues left of this year until he's done.
So chalk me in for 12 to 13 more issues.
I think it's 85 is when he stops now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're just going to have to see. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure that...
Because they haven't even discussed who's going to take it over.
I'm sure they've discussed it. They just haven't let us know.
For sure. Yeah. But after the first of the year...
I hope it's Bendis. Then I can just quit immediately. Oh, give it back to Snyder. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, Snyder's done writing Batman. He's done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Bendis is about the only one that
I hope it's somebody we've never, ever heard of.
And it's really good. I certainly hope that. But right now, I'm super pissed with DC.
I don't understand why you're mad at them. So the story that you have so far is that they came to Tom King and were like, hey, you're done writing Batman as of January 1st. If you want to finish your story, here's 12 more issues. Oh, but by the way, we're also going to hire you to write a new movie for us.
Right, because those have worked out really well for DC.
I mean... I'm just saying, like, you think that's how that conversation went?
I don't know how that conversation went.
You're assuming that DC is...
Neither do you.
Right, but you're assuming that DC is the problem. Maybe Tom King's like, 2 years ago when I came to you guys with this...
Because everything I've read from Tom King is, I'm so glad I get to tell... I want to tell my story of 105 issues for Batman. And then suddenly he's just like... Yeah, fuck it. I'll go write a movie instead. And maybe that happened.
He's never written a movie before.
I get it, but I mean, you can't finish writing your Batman run and then write a new Gods movie? Are we all clamoring for a new Gods movie? I mean, I'll go watch it, but I'm not clamoring for it.
I hope it means that it's going to focus on Mr.
Miracle, yeah,
and Barda a lot. That would be cool. If that's why they decided to pull him in, then that makes me feel a little bit better.
Plus, I think we can all agree that Tom King shines brighter when it's a set number of issues. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say over the course of 85 or 72, what are we on right now? 72 issues? Is that what we were? 72?
It's 72. No. It's coming up.
Okay. 72 is coming up.
It's coming up.
71 issues. Okay. Whatever. Regardless of however many issues, 70 issues, 71, whatever. They haven't all been great.
No, but some of it...
Because there's like 20 in there that were really not great.
But some of it is set up for a punchline.
Sure.
And I'm waiting for that punchline. And I want to see the rest of his vision. Because to me, man, I strapped in and cool. Let's go.
I just think keeping up a story for 105 issues is an impossible feat.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. And I don't get to see it now, so...
I still don't know that that's completely 100% DC just being like, hey, your sales weren't up to par. We know we told you we were going to give you 2 full years or 3 full years or whatever, and yeah, we're pulling the plug on that. But then we're going to turn around within the same week and go, oh, by the way, we're nodding you to do a solo Batman title for 12 issues. Oh, and by the way, you're going to be the lead writer on the next movie we're producing. Mm-hmm. It just seems like if you're unhappy with Tom King, you don't turn around and give him 2 more jobs.
Well, to me, it's more, hey, Tom King, we can't seem to get our movies right. You're one of our best writers. Maybe you can fix what's wrong with our movies.
Okay.
Okay. And that's cool. After you finish Batman. Because then again, I don't know that there's all that much need for a new Gods movie.
Yeah, but there's not need for any movie, really.
I mean, there's not really need for a comic book either.
Sure.
There's a need for me. I want to read your full run.
Right.
Okay.
You mean you think like Tom King's just going to leave it in shambles?
No, but I wanted to get his full story. I feel like we're kind of going in circles.
And I do wonder what, you know, you're never going to hear his thoughts on it.
Like, no, he's been super quiet about it.
Yeah. So, you know, I just wonder, did he really want to do the 105? Would he really have liked, or is he happy with moving on to the movie and getting to do something new?
In my opinion, if they weren't going to give him the 12 issues to finish his Bat and Cat story, that would have been a problem.
I mean, I'm going to read it, but I would have rather had it been just in the regular Batman title.
I don't disagree. It's just, yeah. I just feel like if you don't like what he's doing, you don't turn around and give him two more jobs. So I feel like they liked what he was doing. He just
said peace out.
No, it's just 3 years ago, whenever he signed that deal, do you ever think that he had an inkling that he was going to be up to write a movie? Probably not.
I don't know. It just feels to me like here was my life's ambition is to write this, and now you don't get to write it.
But we still don't know who is pulling the plug on that.
Right. I get it. I'm just disappointed, and I assume DC's at fault because they make all sorts of good decisions.
Besides this, what bad decision have they made recently?
I can go into that later.
Okay.
Okay, they pulled the plug on Swamp Thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that later, but I'll talk about it now. It's fantastic.
Okay. So they canceled it? Didn't they cancel it before it even started?
Game of Thrones. Jesus Christ, dude, you're like, give me one example. I give you an example. Like, didn't they already cancel it?
I didn't know if there was something new out or something about it.
No, it's just fantastic. It's really good.
Okay.
And we've already canceled it. Good job, DC.
Okay.
Titans, which should have been Teen Titans, not Super Dark Titans. Here's our pay channel. Here's crappy Titans. Here's super good Swamp Thing. We're going to go ahead and cancel this one. Good choices.
Okay.
Batman versus Superman. Good choice.
Wasn't it like 5 years ago?
All right. Game of Thrones. What were you guys' thoughts? I'll abstain because I'll be wrong.
You're not going to. You get to have an opinion. I just don't understand. I just don't understand the opinion.
I didn't have a problem with the ending. I thought some of the choices were kind of odd. Like, they just came, you know, kind of came out of left field, the whole Bran thing. I still think we're going to, until we have the full story from George R.R. Martin, then, you know, I just feel like it's going to make a whole lot more sense when you're hearing their thoughts and it's not just, all right, Bran has the best story, so who's better to lead? You know, so I think there's so much more to it in the books that I wasn't disappointed, though, with the ending.
To me, the ending-wise, I don't feel like you could have done anything to please everyone. And like Tyrion said, it was a good compromise. No one is happy.
Yeah, I mean,
how do you finish that off? My complaint was more episodes previous where characters did things out of character, and the fact that the whole season just felt very, very hurried. And why would you hurry it?
I have an answer for you.
Okay.
From what I've heard, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff were just tired of doing it. My question is, why don't you just hire somebody else?
Yeah, absolutely.
And apparently some of the cast were like, if they're out, we're out.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Because according to what I've heard is HBO was literally willing to just Money.
Well, hell yeah.
Which is why they're putting three different prequels, sequels, arbitrarily adjacent shows into production.
Yeah, I don't know that
Easteros.
I'm
I like that. Somebody had Arya the Explorer instead of Dora the Explorer.
My favorite, because immediately after the episode, I mean, there's just meme after meme after meme.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And it was the one where John is kneeling down in front of Bran. Bran's like, shh, he's leaving. All right, chill. You can go back.
Grey Worm?
Yeah, he's on a ship. He's leaving. Which to me is like, okay, bye, buddy, and all your troops. Okay, everybody, we're all cool. All right, John gets to come back into the family.
But the problem is you want to talk about things being untrue to people's character. That would have been untrue to John's character.
I get it. It just felt really weird watching Grey Worm on a ship and
to Narth or whatever.
Yeah, I'm like, the only reason,
isn't it Narth?
John's being exiled is because of that dude who's now leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a weird thing with that, too, that I read about, that because he was going to Missandei's homeland.
Like, birthplace?
Right. Huh. And apparently, in the lore and stuff, and it's not, there's not much, I can't remember what book they said it was in, but basically, anybody who comes there dies within a couple of years because of the viruses and stuff, the germs that they have. It so, like,
why would you go
like
there?
She basically wanted him to go there after, or they were going to go there together, and he ends up, you know, taking everybody, all the Unsullied with him, but apparently they'll probably all die if they do end up there.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was just, there were just a bunch of strange decisions.
One of the really funny memes was, like, it showed, like, a big winding staircase in the Red Keep, and it showed Bronn, the Master of Coin, and it said, when you realize that all of the staircases have to become ramps, and it just shows Bronn with the, like, the how the fuck are we supposed to pay for this?
Yeah, that was kind of funny watching that dude, one of the most unlikely characters.
Well, because
become a noble now.
And that's the thing is like, so George R. R. Martin loves the underdog.
Right.
And so if you look at the final small council, it's all a bunch of people who, by any other means in any other story, have absolutely no right to even be there. Some of them don't even deserve to be alive. And yet they're the ones, like, it's a smorgasbord of people who are disenfranchised and have no reason to be there at all. And that seems right to me.
Yeah.
And honestly, when the book finally comes out, if it ever does, I don't think that much of the ending is going to change. I think some of the points between are going to be fleshed out.
Right.
And make more sense. Like, why Dany had this flip of a coin change of,
because that was really one of the biggest ones that bugged me. I mean, like, when Sandor Clegane goes after the mountain and lets Cersei just slip right on by, I 100% got it. That's his character. He hates his fucking brother
so much that he plunged himself into fire,
the thing he hates second to his brother.
Yes,
because of his brother.
Yes.
I got that. That made sense. Jamie, that really bothered me a lot.
Thing is the Jamie thing wasn't for Jamie. I don't think. I think it was for Brienne.
To get away from her?
Don't want to drag her down.
Yeah.
She deserves to live. I don't.
Yeah.
If I make her come with me, all it's going to do is she's going
to
die too.
Well, he just didn't need to go. He could have just chilled there. But I get that's not part of his character.
But true to his character is I have to go be with my sister.
Yeah, and
the way they died and that whole thing is not great.
Right.
You know, because...
But then again, who else kills Cersei?
In sacrifice.
Right, but...
I don't want you to die from this crushing fucking building.
What I'm saying is...
So I'm going to knife you.
Who
or slit your throat or whatever.
Pretty sure I didn't see that.
That's what he should have done.
Right. Okay. All right. I was so
people had a problem with him going back at all.
Yeah. The point I was making was, no matter who kills Cersei, it's not going to be satisfying to a percentage of the population.
Well, I mean, the most satisfying thing would have been for me is she doesn't
burn Arya to jump down like a spider monkey out of a tree.
No. Smoke her. So she's sitting on like that perch and she's looking and she's on Drogon and then she like you see her face. And she's like, I'm going to burn all these people. And then she, like, flies towards the Red Keep. This is Daenerys.
Okay, because I was talking about Cersei.
And it looks like she's almost going to fly the dragon right up to the top of the keep.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to see. Fly the dragon up there, look at her dead in the face, and say, I got you, bitch. Dracarys, burn her fucking, and then burn
her. That's the thing, is because I wanted to see Arya drop on her like a spider monkey and just stab the crap out of her. Yeah, you know, other people wanted Jaime to kill her.
Exactly.
So you're there's no satisfying conclusion that's going to get everybody.
And I think that's part, like, were you satisfied with the ending of Lord of the Rings?
I believe so.
To a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
Because it comes to a resolution, good or bad, for the majority of the characters.
Right.
I don't know how this is any different. Now, it's short, it's concise, it's maybe the pacing is not right, but...
This whole season wasn't Game of Thrones to me.
Sure, but from what everyone has said is, like, it wasn't the actors, it certainly wasn't HBO, so...
Yeah, and that was my problem of, okay, HBO, and it makes more sense when you say the...
Yeah, you know, D.B. Weiss and
the showrunners are like, we're tired of this.
Well,
we're tired of this completely lucrative franchise.
Well, it's just like any. It's a they're
creatively. It's like I get it. Yeah, it, you're it's, like it's, I don't want to
be.
Else.
I don't want to be those guys that hey,
overstay your welcome.
They did Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
that's all they did ever.
Except now I'm like, hey, those are the guys who ruined Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they didn't
last
ruin
season.
It.
I get it.
But yeah, I know.
All right, so final beer of the pod is Strawberry Rhubarb Sour Ale out of Great Divide in Denver.
And while he's cracking that...
The Great Divide.
I finally took...
should have been... No, go ahead.
Mike's advice and listened to Wolverine the Long Night podcast.
Okay. How was that?
I tell you, growing up, way back in 1992.
You're going to date yourself here, sir. Be careful.
I used to go to the public library, and I would get, they had cassette tapes of old-timey radio shows.
Okay. Like radio dramas?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I remember I used to, like at nap time, I just put one, super dating myself, but whatever. I'd put one in, and I would just sit there and just listen to it, and then just let your imagination fill in all the cracks. You're not watching a movie. You're not reading a comic. Your mind has to – it was really pretty fun. There's part of it, and I don't want to spoil it, because some of the voice acting was better than others.
Well, I think Richard Armitage was the guy who played
Wolverine.
Logan.
Yeah. And he's fantastic. And there's a reason that I won't go into that some of the voice acting is a little stilted and weird.
Okay.
That you'll discover. But I would challenge both of you to...
Where'd you listen to this at?
I think it's on Stitcher.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you had to pay for it, though.
Nope, it's free.
They released it
for
free.
Well, I know they're doing another one.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
I listened to the... I haven't...
Do you think it's
going to
become a thing?
I kind of hope it does.
Like, instead of doing... Wow, could you imagine that? Like, if you had Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of coming full circle back to when families sat around the old-timey radio before TV, and you had to use your imagination. And I think that's something that kids don't use enough nowadays.
Their imagination?
Yeah.
No, because they have everything else done for them.
You've got, DVDs and Blu-rays, and, you've constantly got a device out, and you can watch YouTube and watch somebody else play a video game, which apparently is a thing I don't understand.
Well, if you're a poor boy, can't afford the game. Then
you can see somebody play it and decide if you like it.
But for sure.
It's the people who just sit and watch other people.
You know what I don't understand?
The guy
is people
who wrote it.
Give money. To people who play games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of going out and spending that money on playing the game themselves.
Benjamin Percy is the guy okay. that wrote.
Didn't he do Green Arrow?
Yeah.
He yeah. was the he had one that Green Arrow. Wrote.
That's pretty yummy.
Yeah, the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
For DC.
The one that we all liked before we didn't like it. And
yeah, the one that was just finished with yeah. 50 issues.
yeah.
Yeah.
I think he dropped off.
Yeah, but he dropped off like what? Like
35 yeah. or something like that.
It's almost about the time when we dropped off. Yeah.
I could be. I could well, no, be it off a little
seems.
Bit
from, I mean, we could look it up yeah. what number we stopped at, but, you know, I remember. Because, I mean, when that started, it was really good, right?
And yeah, then because it got I remember super going, this political. Is this is better than Batman.
And then it got super political, right?
Yeah.
That's why we stopped. Because it was like there. The North Dakota pipeline bullshit was
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, yeah,
it was,
yeah.
Well, and then you, I feel like you dropped off. Earlier, and then we stuck on with the hard traveling heroes.
That's,
he yeah. visited everybody in the Justice
hey,
League.
I'm really a good dude, aren't I?
No, you're really an ass. And then something happens. Oh, well, you're not that bad, Ollie.
34 is where I stopped.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I have 1 through 34, so something must have changed, and I wonder what it was.
Well, I would challenge you guys to listen to it.
Yeah.
It's,
so how long is it?
It's like 8 episodes.
It's like an hour long?
Less than an hour.
Okay.
Okay. But just something you could have on in the background while you're doing something else. And
did you ever listen to the Neverwhere production?
No, but I would love to.
Oh, it's good. It's Natalie Dormer and James McAvoy.
Oh, that's good choices.
Yeah.
Except you can't see Natalie.
Yeah.
Through the radio.
Well,
just have to imagine.
Just have a picture of her up.
Yeah.
Or a GIF compilation. What?
I
why is
imagine.
Every... is? Do I have like a filter not on right now? Jesus. Regardless.
Okay. So what else do we have for the impaired section?
I don't know. We were talking about Tom King and we were fine about it for half an hour.
Yeah, that's why. I went to Game of Thrones.
So... there's a movie out that I want to see, but apparently is not doing very well over here, shockingly. I guess the whatever the Historical Society in Britain is called, I have no idea, helped make a Tolkien movie about George R. J.R. Tolkien.
Tolkien, yeah.
And it basically, like, I think Peter Jackson helped with it. And, you know, it's basically his life and his experiences throughout that made him want to create
I've
Lord
got
of the Rings.
I've got a book that I need to finish reading that is Tolkien and Narnia. Why can't I think of his name?
C.S. Lewis?
C.S. Lewis. And how their experiences in the First World War
yes.
came back.
Yes.
And then that's why they decided to write what they wrote.
Yeah.
And a lot of it dealt with their experiences in the First World War.
Yeah. Like, one of the really strong depictions that they took was, I think it's in Fellowship. It's either Fellowship or it's very early in Two Towers where they cross that, like, swamp of the dead.
Yes.
And he's like, that
precious.
And, like, they were talking about how, like, he crossed, like, a soggy battlefield of just dead bodies and,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just like, and then like, yeah. I guess that he was in a battle where there was like heavy mortar fire. And so in the movie, like every time a mortar hits near him, the Balrog, you know, is in the ploof of the explosion. And it's like, if you put that lens on and look through, you know,
yes.
that it's not so much of a story, but like that's my coping mechanism.
Yeah, it, you know, it's a battlefield, whether it's in Middle Earth or whether it's in the fields of
which
France.
Which is easier to live with?
Yeah,
I'm an adventurer. You know, heading to Mount Doom, or I'm in a mud pit, not trying not to die.
And I think. We forget how awful that trench warfare was. I mean,
I think people nowadays just forget how awful warfare in general is.
Yeah, because it's become fairly sanitized. But
thank you, media.
But you look back at, you know, one of my favorite shows, Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
And how those characters, you know, although fictional, have to come back. You know, there's Danny Whizbang who's freaking out about the shelling. And then Shelby is, you know, the tunneler, and how they're trying to tunnel in between the trenches and how awful that is and claustrophobic. And then you've got to be super quiet because at any moment the Germans could break through your tunnel because they're tunneling to get to the trench system as well. I mean, it's just
it was awful. And if you're the lead and you got three or four dudes behind you, there's no way out.
Right. You're just trapped.
Dude, I
can't. It's like the tunnelers in Vietnam, where you'd have to go into the Viet Cong, you know, tunnel system and with a 45 and a flashlight.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine?
Did you say droids?
Droids, dude. You don't think they don't send robots down their holes now?
I thought you meant to say drones, and I'm like, I don't think those fly, not tunnel.
I mean, there's some shit at Boston Dynamics that'll make you fucking cringe.
I really want to see R2-D2.
Just roll up into a Viet Cong tunnel.
Beep, beep. With a little zapper.
Beep, beep. Yeah. Or the flame. That's as light as the flame. But Boston, you know what Boston Dynamics is? It's like a... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they got a... they have a robot now that fuels off bio... material.
Poop?
Or flesh. They literally have made a robot that can sustain off absorbing...
Man, that seems like a good idea. You just match that with some AI and...
Here
comes the Matrix.
Yeah. Who needs to scorch the sky when they just have to...
Eat humans.
Eat humans. Yes. That seems...
Brains. Brains.
I don't know about you, dude, but I don't know how that is going to work out. But they're like, well, you know, it could go into battlefields and, you know, it could just stay out there. And I'm like,
And scavenge
everyone.
Everyone, including our own soldiers.
Yeah. I just need a little snack. So here, come here, buddy. We're friends. You're dead. I'm going to eat you. I don't know who thought of that, but it doesn't seem like a great idea.
Awful idea.
Yeah, it does. It does. But anyway, regardless, what do we think about the Great Divide here? What is this called?
It's a strawberry rhubarb sour ale.
Rhubarb. Where are these people out of? Colorado?
Denver, yeah.
Denver.
So the reason I picked this one up really was because New Axiom had one, a strawberry rhubarb that was fantastic. And then I went back out there to get it, to bring it for the pod, and it was already gone.
Jesus.
So then I was like, okay, well, I'll give this one a shot. This one is not near as good as the New Axiom.
Well, the fun thing about the microbreweries are they're constantly doing small keg experiments. Like we went to Windshift today, and Janine got a beer, I got a beer, and we killed both kegs. So they're constantly bringing out. We went there, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And their menu's already changed. They already had two new IPAs that I thought were fantastic.
See, and I think when you're starting out, that might almost be the way to go. Is get a system that you're not tied to a whole bunch of beer.
Yeah.
Like if you go out and you get
you want your steady eddies, you want what you're coming in for. Hey, try these new ones
here. Yeah, and if you can only make a barrel or two of those at a time to where you're not beholden if nobody buys it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not out hundreds of dollars. Well, I don't know why. And the thing is then, you know, then you'll know, dude, we sold the shit out of this. We got to start making this full time.
That was the crazy thing because he made a English IPA.
Yeah.
He's like
a pale ale or?
No, an English IPA.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what the difference is.
It's the English hops. It's different. Hops.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
And he's like, I really didn't know if it was going to sell well, but I like English IPAs. And he's like, it's selling like crazy.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It almost reminded me of when we were at Flying Horse and we had that ESB.
Oh, yeah.
The biscuit.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that because it's an IPA that doesn't lose the hop notes, but it's got a very malty undertone to it.
Okay.
So, but...
So, we looking at ready to talk about beer of the pod?
Or? I think so. I think we've impaired ourselves...
Sufficiently.
Yeah. For me, it's a no-brainer. It's got to be that new Axiom.
I mean,
yeah. Unless you have other things to talk about, Brian.
The Ring of Fire,
yeah,
would be my runner-up, but the new Axiom Dark Nebula sure.
It's just so out there and different and good.
Yeah, it's like the you were comparing it to Sequench, and I can definitely get that.
See, I think it's completely different than Sequench because there's that fruity element.
Yes,
that you don't have.
Yeah, but it's got kind of the same base.
It's kind of a dark Sequench ale. It because Sequench has the limes. It has
black limes, the sea salt.
The sea salt. It's just that they've added in
black on black.
I'm trying. I'm trying very hard. Keep going.
No,
sorry.
No.
I'm just trying. Because, I don't know what the difference is. Like, why couldn't you just use regular limes? Why are they going to be black limes?
I don't know. We're going to have to find that out.
What's the difference between white salt and black salt? I didn't even really make black salt. Like, what does that fucking come from? You just put black food coloring on salt? It's black salt.
It's black sea salt. So I'm going to say that it comes from the Black Sea. It's imported in from the Black Sea over in Europe.
Black, you know what would be really funny is if the Black Sea is a natural water?
Whole black Persian limes.
Oh, well, you're in the right area.
How do you use dried black limes? People also search for... black limes information. I feel like this is super awesome potting.
Uh-huh. Captivating.
Yes.
To everyone. I definitely think it's the Crayon's Dark Nebula.
The flesh is dried, dark, brown-black, brittle, flaky with patches of sticky pith. Black limes have a pungent fragrance when opened, offering a sweet, tart, tangy citrus flavor with fermented musky undertones.
Musky undertones?
Musky undertones.
Like Fumunda cheese.
I love musky undertones.
All right, so we are all...
Can I get that pin back?
Oh, you'll need it, sir.
Yeah,
40 titles for this ski undertones.
That probably comes from every once in a while needing to F a dead body.
All right, so before we close, I'd like to encourage everybody to follow us at Portographic PC on Twitter. I know at least Eric and I, and you probably need to do it, have untapped apps. We've linked to Twitter so you can see our ratings of the different beers that we talk about on the pod.
Huh? I thought you were going through the whole thing, man.
No, and I was just talking about that.
Yeah.
In addition to
Portographic Podcast on Facebook and Portographic Podcast on SoundCloud. And,
if you'd like to email us, it is trashpandaradio@gmail.com.
Yeah. Because someone stole productions. Where I could get it.
Sadness.
Yeah. Assholes. Anyway. So it's new Axiom, Nebula, Crayon's Dark Nebula.
It's the winner for issue 47.
Winner, chicken dinner. All right, everybody. Hashtag break free.